Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste, and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and today I am delighted, as always, to have a guest with me on the podcast because it's nice to be able to talk to other people and learn different perspectives. And today I've got a very accomplished gentleman who has a lot of experience, and I can't wait to share his knowledge with all of you. His name is David A. Schwerin, PhD, founder and former president of DJ Investment Advisors. And he's authored 3 books and dozens of articles published worldwide, including a latest book that he co-authored with Diana Muenz Chen, hopefully I'm pronouncing her name right, called Know Your Soul, Bring Joy to Your Life, that was published in late 2019. And David's given scores of presentations, media interviews on a variety of business and psychological topics to academic, business, and government audiences in the U.S., China, and India. And he's actually worked in China and received numerous honors for that, as well as he's also a regular contributor to the Times of India's Speaking Tree blog, which is one of the largest spiritual blogs in the world with over 1 million subscribers. That's a lot of wonderful things. And there's even more that I didn't get in here, but I really want to welcome you to Live, Love, Engage.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really curious. I was trying to figure out how I best wanted to start this today, because you do have a lot of wealth of experience, but I think maybe the first place to start might be, I'm actually curious to even go talk about this, is what brought you to China? Because I sadly have only been out of the United States once. I got to Hungary last year. That's where my grandparents were from. But China is a place that intrigues me a lot. So what brought you there? And I understand you spent a lot of time there, not just 1 or 2 years, right?
Well, I've made 9 trips to China over the last approximately 20 years. Wow. Most of them are just 2, 3, 4 week trips.
Okay.
And but they're pretty intense, and I cover a lot of ground when I'm there. What brought me there? My first book, actually. You could describe it in a different way, but that essentially is the reason. My first book was called Conscious Capitalism, and it was published in 1998 and in the U.S., and it was picked up and published in China in 2001.
Oh, wow.
Much to my surprise, to be honest with you. And I was invited as a result to come to China and speak and, you know, promote the book. And as happenstance would have it, or probably more than happenstance, but we'll call it happenstance, one of my first talks over there was to what's called the Communist Party School, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. And it's a school where high-level Communist Party members come back for training. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I had not been to China before and was a little bit nervous, especially when I saw people walking around the campus with machine guns.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
But I gave a lecture there about conscious capitalism. Now, I should explain what I mean by conscious capitalism.
Yes, please.
It's really, it can be described more as social responsible business.
Oh, okay.
Or corporate social responsibility.
Right.
Now it's ESG. is a term that's popular. But it's about treating people, all stakeholders, with due consideration. Mm-hmm. And but it was based on spiritual principles. The book I wrote was based on spiritual principles. Mm-hmm. But it was made very practical. And so I was nervous about speaking about capitalism and some of the principles here.
Right, yes.
But believe it or not, they resonated with it. The first person who, when I finished my talk, who raised their hand from the audience, turned out to be a university professor, because all professors are part of the Communist Party. Mm-hmm. And presidents of universities. And he raised his hand and said, "You touched my heart." And I was really shocked when he said that.
Wow, yeah.
And, but anyway, they really liked it. They liked the concept. And they put my book in their bookstore. And before I knew it, the cover of the book with my picture on it was on the largest bus line in China.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And from there, things just roller coastered to the point where I won't say every business certainly, but a lot of businesses in China are now following some version of social responsible business. I mean, they have their own priorities, but it's really taken off and become, because the Communist Party got behind it. They were in favor of it. That's the key to what happens in China for the most
part. That's true. Yeah, absolutely. I imagine I think it's still a bit hard probably to get that point across maybe here in the United States sometimes, because I think a lot of companies are still a bit resistant to that. But has that been your experience, or have you found that more American companies are also starting to follow these principles?
Well, I think it started in the West more than in China.
Right.
And, you know, when it started out, some companies started to use it, but initially it was more of a defensive thing, you know, good PR.
Oh, okay.
But in more recent times, because it's been shown that it is effective, it helps a company prosper. It's profitable. It's not. Most people think, well, that's going to be, it's going to detract from profits, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it not only does it not detract from profits, but there's just been some recent studies, although there's been many for a few years, that companies that follow social responsible business practices, their stock does better than other companies.
Oh, wow.
And that was just a recent study, one of many, but it was just recently updated, so that anybody who wants to be practical and is interested in profits would tend to follow this. Hmm. It just makes sense. If you treat your employees well, you treat your suppliers, your customers well, they're going to come back and they're going to be repeat customers, and your employees are going to be motivated to work harder. And so it's not rocket science. It's amazing that we haven't thought about it before.
That's true. But you mentioned earlier that spirituality was a part of that. So can you explain that a little bit? How does that factor into the conscious capitalism idea?
Well, there are seven hermetic principles that it was based on, which are spiritual teachings from long ago, ancient wisdom. Mm. And I showed how each of these principles would help a company to improve its business. So that while the principles are a little esoteric in some respects, they can be shown to fit into a business operation, because if spiritual principles work, they work for everything that happens in life. You know, if something is not practical, it's not spiritual. And if it's not spiritual, if it's spiritual, it's got to be practical.
Right.
So it's just a logical sequence.
Can you give an example of like what would be one of the principles?
I remember I wrote this book 22 years ago, but yeah. I do know the principles pretty well. The principle of cause and effect is one example. Mm. What we do has an effect. And so how we treat people is going to affect how they react.
Right.
The principle of, I can't think of the word now, gender.
Mm.
You know, we all have masculine and feminine aspects to ourselves.
Right.
And by recognizing that, you know, and encouraging the full use, the full range of our capabilities, which include masculine meaning more of a force or consciousness,
right.
and it's the projective versus the receptive principle.
Yes, exactly.
So
yeah.
By combining those two, you get a more balanced and effective organization.
Mm, that's awesome. Now, your latest book sounds like it's a little bit more, not necessarily business, but more of a personal nature. Know Your Soul, Bring Joy to Your Life. I love the title of that. It resonates with me a lot. So can you explain a little bit about what the book's about and why is it important for us to know our soul?
Okay. Well, we are part of a soul, mm-hmm. our soul. So it's good to know what we're part of.
Yeah.
So we know the whole thing. Because our soul really sets the agenda for our life. We have free will. We don't have to follow it.
Right.
But we don't follow, it's to our detriment. So so knowing as much as you can about your soul is going to improve your life in all aspects.
Mm.
We wrote this book at the encouragement of Archangel Michael.
Mm.
And he wrote an introduction for the book. And this is all channeled.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us some information, and we pulled information from other places. But it talks about the origin of the soul, which is the soul is the first individuation from Creator,
mm.
and is directly connected to Creator. So we have the origin, the structure of the soul. The soul includes the physical body, which is us.
Right.
We're now experiencing physicality. But we're spiritual beings having a physical experience, and sometimes we forget that.
Right, exactly.
The physicality, the energy field that surrounds us, and the spiritual realm that is further out in our energy field.
Mm.
So all those three, I'm talking in general terms now.
Sure.
But those three are part of what constitutes our soul.
Mm.
And one of the things everyone has when the soul decides to have an incarnation is to have a task for the incarnating
mm-hmm.
part. So we all have a task of some sort. And obviously our life, and again, we have free will, so we don't have to follow that.
Right.
But to the extent you do follow it, your life flows more harmoniously and
mm-hmm.
You feel fulfilled and life is just easier and better.
Yeah.
And so we have the purpose of the soul is for movement. That sounds strange at first blush, but through movement on all levels, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual,
mm-hmm.
all you can have movement on all four levels. And by doing that, by constantly having some kind of change, evolution really in all four areas,
mm-hmm.
we learn and we grow. It's the movement that creates opportunities and experiences to learn and grow from. So we have the origin of the soul, the purpose of the soul, and the structure of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other parts of the book are personal experiences that I have had, as well as my co-author,
mm-hmm.
In communicating with our soul and following its instructions, because we all get guidance of some sort or another.
Yeah.
And so I explained some very, a lot of people find unusual experiences of, I mean, I've been very blessed, very, very fortunate to have the ability. It's not really my ability, but it's the ability to connect with these higher realms and get guidance. And so the other parts of the book, and there's a part of the book which Archangel Michael gives us a lot of input on how to connect to your soul.
Okay. Yeah.
So there is a how-to aspect to it also. So that it's a very short book, even though a lot of material. And most people find, it takes a couple readings to really absorb it. But I think people find it very helpful if they're at all inclined to want to know about this sort of thing. And if they're not inclined, that's fine, but it really is helpful to life.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's, I like that you also include a little bit of the how-to in there, because I do think that learning to pay attention to, like, recognize those signs, because as you say, we do have free will, but I also believe, at least it's been my experience, that the universe sends signs. And so it's whether you recognize them and then pay attention to them is, I think, where that free will comes in. And I've gotten better now at being able to pay attention, and when I get those nudges, to act on them right away. And it seems things do go a lot better in my life when I do that.
That's absolutely true. And that's what you mentioned, a key item here, is when we get the sign, because we have free will, we can either resist it,
right,
or we can surrender to it.
Mm-hmm.
The surrender part is a big lesson, lifelong lesson.
Yeah.
Because we tend to want to do what we want to do, and not, and sometimes what is best for us at first does not seem that way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we have to learn, and we all are learning this, because it's, as I say, a lifelong lesson, is when we get that inspiration, that gut feeling, go with it. Even if at first it doesn't seem like it's what we prefer.
Right.
And Michael Singer has written some wonderful stuff around that. He calls it the surrender experiment.
I know. I've read The Untethered Soul by him, but I haven't looked at that one, so I'll have to check that out.
And just to finish it up, to the extent that we follow our soul wants, and accomplish the tasks that are set out for us, there is the possibility that we may be given some other tasks, and if it fits with the circumstances, our life might be extended. So it's called reincarnation in the same body or same lifetime. I talk about that in the book, because both I and my co-author have gone through that. So there are quote unquote goodies for following what you're asked to do.
Okay, yeah, very interesting. I'm going to have to add this to my wish list of books that I want to get to read it, because now I definitely want to read this. I'm totally intrigued. I'm going to not exactly change course, but maybe just shift a little bit into talk a little bit about what's going on in our world today. And I do think that part of, well, I'll just give you my perception, is that I think with the pandemic and even here in the United States, now we've got the Black Lives Matter. I do think that, like, the universe is sort of knocking on our heads and saying, hey, pay attention. It's time to wake up and start, paying attention to your soul and all of these things. So, How is your perspective on what's happening today, why, and what we can do to maybe make our lives even more, have a little more ease and flow with what's going on?
Okay, well you touched on some key points. First of all, this is a crisis. It's been building for a while.
Right.
And the crises are a natural phenomenon that happened many times through the ages.
Right.
And it happened when we start to go astray and the universe has to say, wake up. It has to shake us up because our natural inclination is to stay with the status quo.
Yeah.
And so if we don't get some shaking, we may ignore it and to our detriment. Mm. So the universe has ways of getting our attention.
Right.
And it's asking us to pause, take a look at our life and take a look at life in general. Mm. Is it flowing? Are things that are happening, the priorities we've chosen and the values that we have, are they in alignment with what we know in our heart is the right thing?
Right.
Or is harmonious with reality? So we're being called to look, to pay attention, and what's the answer? How do we respond? And the only thing that we can do as individuals, well, not the only thing, but the most important thing, is to look at ourself, to a deep introspection.
Mm-hmm.
What are my beliefs? How am I behaving? Are they in concert with reality again? So it's to gain self-knowledge so that we can see when where we have some distortions, what our beliefs are, not really accurate, because we've been brought up to believe things, we've been conditioned to believe things.
Yeah.
And we go through life and just assume they're accurate and we'll continue. So we need to look at those. And when we do, it will most likely force us to change some of the way we do things.
Mm-hmm.
And so as more and more people do that work that, right, and gain self-knowledge, the world will change because we'll gain a critical mass of people who are looking at deeply at their own beliefs and behavior,
right,
and changing them slowly. And once a critical mass is formed, and so it doesn't have to be 50% of the people, we're talking maybe 3% or 5%.
Yeah.
Everyone else will get the idea and begin to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even this Black Lives Matter, what percentage of the people are involved in making or marching?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the percentage is, but it's fairly small, probably compared to everybody.
So. Right.
But it is bringing everybody around to think about these things and to reevaluate and make changes.
Yeah.
So major changes can be made without having everybody agreeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the surest way of fixing things. That's each of us work on ourselves.
Right.
And as more and more people do that, peace and harmony will break out. Something we haven't seen for a long time.
Absolutely. And I think that's really, I think that's a hopeful message, because I think sometimes we think that, it's got to be, we really do have to have more than half of the people need to do something. But no, it just, change does start with just one person, because then one person does, and then they interact with someone else, and then maybe that other person will start to do it, and it really can snowball.
Sorry for the noise.
It's okay. It's the
oops.
It's the things that happen when we're trying to record live. Things happen, and it's all good. I used to work in live television, and things would happen, and it's okay. It's all good.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. Well, let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Well, let me just, because this has been a really fascinating conversation, and I'm so glad that you were here. Is there anything else maybe that you think would be either relevant or an important point that we haven't discussed so far that you think would be a benefit, whether it's business related or spiritually related or even related to the times we're living in now?
Well, I guess I would go back to knowing yourself. Mm-hmm. and being willing. The difficulty, the why people shy away from doing that, is because we all have some shadow, some aspects of ourselves, some beliefs, some values that we don't really, when we look at it, we're not real proud of it.
Yeah, that's true.
So it does take some courage to get started. But that's the only way through. And you'll find that as you do this and you see some things that maybe you are not real proud of, and you begin to make changes, you really feel good. It really is a wonderful experience, even though at first blush, it doesn't seem that way.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage people to begin to look at what's going on with them. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing they can control. And obviously you can talk to others and you can encourage others, but really you need to make the changes yourself first. So that's what I would emphasize.
Awesome. I think that's great. And I had to mute myself temporarily because my dog started barking. So see, it's not just you that has, everybody wants to get their point across today, I think, on our podcast, and it's all right. It's all good. So yeah, I do. I think it really does boil down to just beginning with yourself. And yeah, it can be sometimes challenging and even painful at times to acknowledge those parts of yourself that that are maybe not as pleasing. And, you know, just like you rip a Band-Aid off and you know, eventually it will heal better. Or even just when you jump off of the diving board, it might be scary at first, but once you're in there, you can feel so accomplished for having done something.
And overcoming the initial fear, mm-hmm. is a really empowering experience. And we all have fears, and the only way you get past the fear is to go through it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and you do your best you can.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. If someone wants to be able to, who's listening or watching this on YouTube, wants to be able to get in touch with you, maybe read some of your articles or find out how to get your books, or what's the best way to that they can contact you?
Well, through my website, which is consciousthinking.com. Conscious Thinking. I have all my articles and a lot of other material there, and you can contact me through it. And so I would recommend that. Also, it's a Speaking Tree blog, which is in India. It's speakingtree.in for India. Hmm. Has a lot of good material on it that people seem to resonate with. Either one is a good place to start.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you being on the show today. And yes, I encourage everyone to check out consciousthinking.com, right? And learn more about knowing your soul and spirituality and all of this good stuff, because we have an opportunity right now to make positive change in the world. And it just starts with yourself. Yeah. So thank you everyone for watching and for listening. And I am very grateful to you. And as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's LiveLoveEngage.com.
COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Symptoms of this respiratory disease may include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you are experiencing these symptoms and have come into contact or are in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and/or consult with a physician. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.